This morning, the word of God will speak to us through the book of John, the Gospel of John. And we will look at the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 27. And if you have the NIV version, that is the preferred version for this. Preferred version for this speaking text. So that's the book of John, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let's listen together to what God has to say to his people this morning. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore, will you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Blessed are those who are the readers, but particularly the doers of his word. Amen.
Good morning, saints. Good morning, good morning, sinners. Good morning, royal priesthood. Good morning, rebels without a cause. Good morning, you publicans. Good morning, you Pharisees. Good morning to those of you who are blind. And good morning to those of you who have blinders. Well, that didn't get a... wasn't quite the response I was hoping for. My chat with you this morning is entitled Allowing for Wonder. And this morning I'm going to be talking about four things. A, you may wonder about me. B, I am wondering about you. C, as we wonder about us. And D, wondering what if. From that passage, and thank you for reading the Word of God for us, I'll give emphasis to John chapter 9, but particularly to the reply of the blind man. He replied, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see. Let's pray. Blinders or blind, Pharisee or publican, saint or sinner, we are here. Allow us to encounter you, O God. Amen. All right. I have to admit that I wonder about a lot of things. I took a moment here to list a couple of things that I wonder about. I come from the sunny state of Florida, where when it gets down to 60 degrees, we're freezing. So here's a couple of things that I'm wondering about. I'm just going to list them off here quickly so you can hear them. I am wondering, what does 14 degrees Fahrenheit feel like? I'm wondering, will the Chicago Bears win it all? All right, I have to give away that dear boy, Rex Grossman. You know where he came from. Fighting gators. And those gators eat up people, you know. Have you read it in the news? Another thing I'm worrying about. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say worry. I'm wondering about, what is the key to the female psyche? There's no class about that here at the seminary. Another thing I'm worrying about. I'm wondering about, what really is in Vegilinx? And probably the most important thing that I am wondering about is, I get those chapel attendance cards too. So what is the right answer to that last question? A, B, or see? Well, I can't proclaim to have any answers to those questions. And probably as I am standing here before you, or as if you have watched me walk the halls, you probably have some things that you are wondering about me. So I do want to clear up some of those things for you, the questions about me that you may be wondering about. I am Filipino, all right? My lovely wife of 14 years, Deirdre, is Puerto Rican. Yes. So my daughter, 10-year-old Alexa, is either Puerto Rican or she's not Puerto Rican. I'm Filipino. My wife, Didi, is Puerto Rican. So my daughter is either Puerto Pino or Filarican. You may be wondering about my hair. I have hair still, but I wear my hair this way because my wife likes it that way. And if you don't learn anything else in the seminary, gentlemen, whatever your wife likes. Something else you may be wondering about me is something I need to confess to you, is that I have indeed sold out my life to Jesus Christ. And he has ruined my life. To give me another life. And yet, in the midst of knowing that I've sold out to Jesus, yet I also often wonder why I am here. So, if you permit me to be so bold, I'll go to my next point. I am wondering about you. The book of John portrays to us a dramatic passage that intrigues me not only as a person and as a studier of the Bible, but also as a clinical psychologist. So if you'll indulge me for just a moment, I would turn your attention to the passage if you have it close by, and also to your chapel attendance card. You're very familiar with the story. You know the primary player. So if for a moment we can just do a character analysis, I would like for you to just take a moment and tell me, as you look at this story so artfully portrayed here in the chapter 9 of the book of John, who do you feel the most like you really relate with? All right, so on your chapel card there is A. So A is for the authorities. Do you see them there? Just prior to this in chapter 8, they were manhandling rocks, ready to slay this truthsayer. Jesus eluded him. In their midst, he eluded them, and on his way, he makes his way out. Yet the religious leaders are pursuing Jesus. Their intent is real. The threat is real. And you know why the threat is so real is because the religious leaders could not deal with the paradigm shift that Jesus was sharing. The paradox between what Jesus was sharing as this renegade teacher, it was ruining their constructs. It was challenging their theology. It was stating truth, raw, and ravaging. And indeed, they could not handle the truth. So as you look at your chapel attendance card, do you feel most like A, the authorities? You know how to fill in those bubbles, right? You don't want to half fill it in or put an X mark. You fill it all the way in with a number 2 pencil. All right? So A is the authorities. Or do you feel most like B, the blind man? Since birth, marginalized, depraved, his occupation asking for the attention, at least, of those that would pass through the common byways of his town. Without asking, yet miraculously and lavishly healed by what he didn't completely understand. He found himself defending a man. He found himself defending a prophet. He found himself defending a godsend. And ultimately, in this progression of defending what he did not completely understand, he found himself defending the Son of God, who the passage makes very clear he had yet to have seen with his own eyes or even recognize. So do you, number for my question here, A, relate with the authorities? Or do you relate with B, the blind man? And then obviously your last, because that's the last bubble, right, on your chapel card. Maybe you relate with the C, the cautious. You know his parents? They knew him. Yet, when asked by the authorities questions to which they knew the answers, the parents played politically correct. Making efforts to do damage control, they played it safe, lest they lose their membership. Because membership has its privileges. So they put it back on to number B, because he was of age, and they cautiously watched from the perimeter to see what might transpire. So, do you feel most like the authorities, A, the blind man, B, or the cautious, C? Go ahead, fill in your answers now, if you like. If we were to compare our attendance cards, because by the way, I'm required to attend too. If we were honest in regards to which bubble we would be inclined to fill in, if we were to compare notes, if I were true to myself, I would have to say that I probably filled in all three. There have been times in my life, maybe even now, maybe here even in the seminary, that I've been so arrogant in regards to what I think I know. My academic prowess, my ability to exegete, my profound understanding of the scriptures and those that give commentary to it, that I've allowed myself to become arrogant. So arrogant sometimes that when I hear the word of truth, I choose not to believe. I refuse to believe because it's my life, my order, my sense of bearing is so grounded with what I know that I can't hear the word of God. There have been times, too, that I've been cautious. It's been easier to try and get you to like me as a professor or to befriend me as a colleague, to run in the right circles, but when push comes to shove, when I'm asked the difficult questions as to where I stand, I can give you a nice generality that will get me some more points with the pollsters. There have been times that I've been cautious. But there are also times, in my darkest moments, moments I don't dare share with you, and especially since there's a camera up there and who knows what's watching on the internet, there have been times that I've been marginalized, that I've recognized my own insufficiencies and come to the true bearing of what that is. Knowing full well, there's no question whatsoever, because from birth I've been blind in many places in my life. But yet, in the midst of that blindness, this man walks by. This man walks by, he hears my pleas, and my pleas aren't for sight, you see. My pleas are for stuff, for money, for food. But somehow, with his God-seeing eyes, he interprets my request. And instead of giving me food, he gives me bread, the bread of life. Instead of giving me stuff, He gives me flesh and blood and life through him. Instead of giving me money, he gives me wealth beyond my deepest comprehension. Yes. And I am miraculously, serendipitously, lavishly healed by this man. I don't completely understand him. I don't really know him. In fact, if he were to pass again the crowd, maybe I could tease out his voice. But right now, in the midst of the miraculous thing that he took my life and turned it upside down, I really couldn't pick him out. But I do know this. I don't know much. But this I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. So I wonder, since we're here together, since we have to go on this journey together, and since you've already paid tuition, which is far less, thank you, the doctor, not, than it could have been. Amen. So now I wonder about us. What will be known about us? Oh, the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University. Why were we brought here? What is our purpose? What is to be made of our higher education? Desire of Ages, page 465, gives commentary. Mrs. White says, "In these days, we hear much about higher education. But the true higher education is that imparted by him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So, as I wonder about us, can I dream a little bit with you? Can I dream a little bit with you? Let us be known, you. And would you take a moment, look over to your left and your right. And then whoever you choose, go ahead and say to them, "You look fabulous." My question is which side did you choose? Let the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, let us be known as a society of beggars. I have great admiration for a great man, Charles Bradford. Have you heard him say this little quote? He says this with no apology. "I'm just a beggar showing other beggars where to find bread." I could be a part of a society of beggars. And let anyone that asks about the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University, oh yes, I know them, because they are a society of beggars. Let us be not only a society of beggars, let us be an alliance of those astonished and amazed. Just when I thought I had him figured out, he does something all too new and crazy and divine. Amazing grace. May it continue to be amazing grace. May I understand what a wretch I am, all the more amazing. Make there be room in this seminary for wonder. May the mystery of God be not contained in these halls. May we testify with our lives that we do not know much. But this we do know, we were blind, but now we see. So we want to be a society of beggars. We want to be an alliance of those astonished and amazed. And see, let this be, a haven where wonder is affirmed and blindness is embraced. For it is for God's glory that we exist. You see, the parents didn't sin, per se. The son didn't sin, per se. But God afforded this young blind beggar a delay in his physical sight. So that once he got his physical sight, the acuity of his other senses were acute. And when the teachers came to him and says, "Who are you? How did you get healed? What did you do?" He knew what to say. And I love, don't you love those that have that satirical wit that know how to put it on the line and tell you the truth? "You asked me this before, and I told you." Wait, are you asking me again because you want to be a disciple too? Oh, the flames were hot then. They threw him out. But you know what? The blind man was not by himself. Jesus came. He revealed himself to him. And the man gave worship. I don't know much, but this I do know. I was blind, but now I see. So my last question, what if? As a kid, I loved to build things. Did you love to build things? I used to take Tinker Toys. Did anyone have Tinker Toys? Lincoln Logs. Anyone with Lincoln Logs? All right, Radio Shack had this 250-piece science kit that you could make anything except for a nuclear bomb by connecting wires together. I loved to build things when I was a child. But as I wonder, and I allow myself to wonder, what if? What if right now, right here, with those around us, what if we decided that we were going to build the kingdom together? What if we acknowledged our inability to do it by ourselves, surrendered to the wisdom of God to put us together and to infuse us with His Spirit? What might happen? What if, with reckless abandon, we joined our lives together, inextricably. That people came to the seminary, even on our campus, you know? The most reputation building that we need to do is here on our campus with our colleagues in the other schools. But what if, right here, right now, we decided with reckless abandon to be something wonder-filled and wonderful to the glory of God? You know, I don't know much. But I do know this. That we were blind. But now we see. We see the kingdom and who's in charge of it. We've been touched lavishly and graciously by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And though hell and fire come our way, though we be marginalized, though we be separated from those things that we thought were most important, we know this, that we were blind, but now we see. But further, the man, the prophet, the Godsend, No. The Son of God. He's the one who touched me. Who touched you. So, you can take this little Lego piece, place it in the trash. You can clutch onto it with all your life. Or you can decide, as you look at the fabulous people that surround you, let's build the kingdom together. I don't know what the future holds, but I know, I don't know where your lives may take you, but I do know that you were blind. Now see. See it all. See it all. Lord Jesus, we commit our brokenness, our bravado. We commit our intellect and our souls. We commit all that we are to change your kingdom and to bring you glory. This is our desire, our passion. May we continue to be wonder-filled because you are wonderful. We ask and pray these things in your name. Amen.